Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. Today, we are visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Leanne. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
We want to talk a little bit about the regular fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week. But before we get into the agenda, there's some things that we do want to touch base on, as we have for the past little over a year now. The first thing we want to talk about is COVID. Vaccination clinics are ongoing. How is the community doing as far as vaccination participation?
Well, we're doing fairly well in vaccination participation. It's lower than we would have hoped. Our goal is to get enough that we can go into herd immunity. But we are working on trying to be creative. I was just on the phone with the governor's call today, and their concern is the 29 to 40 year olds. It's not that they don't want to take it, but it's how to make it available to them in their normal routine of a day's of their day. So I think they had some creative ways to do it. They were going to do some mobile sites and do some things that would take it to their door where they'd be able to do it. The mayor and I had a conversation a little bit ago. We are thinking maybe that some of these sporting events, we set up a mobile vaccination clinic and be able to just provide it to them while mom and dad's watching the game. Other kids on T-ball or something, maybe they just step over and get a shot. So there's things in the plans, but we're doing okay. Our numbers are up, are coming up a little bit, which is a concern. Every day, everybody probably looks at the dashboard. We did a pretty good job for a little while, and now it's starting to kind of creep back up with, 8, 9, we even had 10 one day. So that's a concern to me. It's a concern to everyone else. And that may be reflected in some of the Easter holiday gatherings, but there's not a significant number and a definite track to where we could actually say it's attributed to this. So we're just going to hope that everybody participates in the shots, and let's get this put behind us so we can get back to a normal, whatever the new normal is going to be. Let's get there.
Did the pause on the J&J vaccine affect vaccination availability within our community?
No, I don't think it's the availability of vaccines in our community is very high. We've got plenty of vaccines. We need arms. We've got plenty of vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson probably did have an effect on certain people that wants just a one shot and done. So that has affected some. I'd say it's probably a pretty small percentage. The other two vaccines have been out long enough and proven long enough to, I don't think there's any concern about those. But I'm sure the J&J did have an effect on a small percentage just based on a one shot and done. But there is plenty of vaccines. We have plenty. We need arms.
Talking a little bit about some of the other stuff that's happening within the community, I saw that Tuesday got a press release from the governor's office. There's going to be some discretionary money to do some resurfacing projects.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate, since we've really increased the black topping and resurfacing and road repair in the last couple of years, and a lot of that is due to the fact that we have chased every rabbit at every hole, if you will, to try to capture as much money as we can. And this is an example of that. I had applied. We received some discretionary funding last year, and I think East Clack Mountain is one of those we're doing right now that was discretionary funds that the governor provided last year. This year, I reached back out again, and I had requested, of course, I had a very long list. But we did get two very, very heavily traveled roads. We got Rice Road, which will be resurfaced completely, and also Caudill Cemetery Road, which both of those are very expensive. It's a $125,000 project that we would not have been able to afford at the county budget. So this will free up a lot of our frees up some of our money out of the blacktop fund that we were probably going to patch and cobble on. So it's really good that we got this funding, and we appreciate the governor and the transportation cabinet for recognizing that these roads are traveled enough and it's important enough to be able to get these resurfaced.
One of the last times that you and I talked before the pandemic started. I remember you came into the studio and we did a show, and then after the show we sat down and talked about some really awesome things that were in the works as far as road projects goes. Where are we on some of those projects? Are we going to see any of those start to happen this summer?
Well, I think you're going to certainly see some safety improvements to, you know, US 60 that will begin here very soon. The Transportation Cabinet, actually District 9, came in a brief to fiscal court yesterday on some of the safety projects they got going on and on US 60, some drainage issues. And of course, as you know, they're upgrading some pipes now out on US 60 East, and the road was closed Monday. We were hoping to get it open yesterday, but it didn't happen. But we probably, with any luck, we should get it open today, I hope. It's ongoing. The big project I think you and I talked about was the widening and straightening of 377, a safety issue and a safety concern. Also the widening and the of 801 and the widening of 32 from Park Hills to Viking Drive. Those three projects are on the top of the list for this region. I was very successful at negotiating with some of the other counties to get those moved to the top. 801 is a top priority in the state right now to get, because they realize that the amount of traffic on 801 is with the new app harvest and the businesses we have out there, it's very much needed. 377 will be getting, they've got some funding for some right of way and some utility placement. So it is still ongoing. We just had a pause button on, but we're moving forward and we're really looking forward to some of these improvements, because it's all better life and all better safety, and it's better for to bring new jobs and things in.
I know that the roundabout work is already ongoing. I went through that intersection over the weekend, and it's coming along pretty quickly.
Yeah, that again, that's another safety project, and you know they're limited on their funds, so it's never a great big project. This one is fairly cheap. At one time when I went to the briefing, they told me how much it was. It was a very small cost, and you know the roundabout is in Bath County.
I always forget that the line is right there.
Yeah, that's, you know, people say, what are you doing letting them do that around county? Well, I didn't have anything to do with it. It's actually Bath County. And of course, the judge execs don't really have anything to do with their safety improvements anyway. We can encourage them to do certain things, and we do. But some things, you know, that they've done studies on and they're pretty adamant about that's safe. And they're going to go forward with it. The roundabout, I think the biggest benefit to it is if you have a accident, it will be a glancing accident instead of a T-bone accident. And I think that's kind of what I got out of that meeting. And it's not supposed to disrupt the flow. It's a very small curb in the middle of it that will allow campers and boats and trailers and stuff to actually get right over top of that curb. So you really shouldn't see no real big distance or a really big difference in traffic. It should probably speed the flow up, I think, or at least they say it does. But we'll wait and see. You know, if they put it together and it's horrible and it falls apart, I'm sure they'll come back and think, well, you know, we put it back like it was.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that happened in the fiscal court meeting. We got an update from the EMS department, and you and I haven't really talked about the building, the facility that's being worked on in a while. I know it was in the works and things were happening, but where are we on that project?
The project has moved along. It's hit a few bumps as far as, COVID and slowdowns and supply delivery and those kind of things. The building is actually up. We're in the final stages of it now, cosmetic stuff. Some of it's cosmetic, some of it, but it's getting really close. I would expect to be in it within the next month. And I think I've said that probably for the last 3 months, but I'm hoping within the next month we'll get those things done and get ready to move in. And it'll really be a huge benefit to, I think, our ambulance drivers and all of our having our office and everything in one spot. And it's new, it's fresh. They'll have some bedrooms to sleep in when they're on duty, but waiting on a call. I just think it's a really big step forward that we need to do for our first responders, given the fact that, we're not shrinking. We're only one of the three counties, I think, in the state's actually growing.
Some of the old business that got taken care of during the meeting, the second reading of an ordinance regarding repeat animal control calls. Did that pass? And tell us a little bit about what that ordinance is going to mean for the people in the community.
It did pass. That was the second reading. So now it will become effective now. It also, what it does is when we send an animal control officer out, he goes out and let's just say it's a neighbor's goat that's got out and eaten someone's shrubs. So we send the animal control officer out and he tells them to put the goat up and they do. And then the next day we go back out because it got out again. So, you know, it's back and forth. And before we never really had anything other than to go ask them to put the goat up. So, you know, there was not much teeth into that. So what we've kind of modeled the city, it's a graduated cost. So we go out and tell the people and, you know, a couple times put the goat up and they don't do it, then we'll fine them $25. So if they keep letting the goat get out, then it'll go to 50, 75. And I think the max is $100. But it's just a way of getting their attention. And to be honest with you, this does not happen very often at all. This is probably a 2-time-a-year event, and let's hope it stays that way, that we actually people don't respond when we go out. So it's just a tool for the animal control officer to be able to convince people that they need to keep their animals under control and out of the neighbor's shrubs.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Best of Car Talk is back on WMKY.
Well, I'm planning a grand road trip in my 64 Dodge Dart convertible. Now, my brother's offered to follow along with a pickup load of spare parts. I just wondered if you could advise me as to what spare parts he ought to carry.
Another Dodge Dart.
The Best of Car Talk, Saturday mornings at 10, Sunday mornings at 6 on WMKY 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Judge Executive here in Round County, Harry Clark. Thanks so much for being here. We're talking about the regular meeting of the fiscal court that happened earlier this week. New business, lots of new business on the agenda. First of all, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I assume it's going to take us a little bit to get through, the first reading of the annual budget for the next fiscal year, starting July 1 of this year. I know you've been planning this for a while. You've been working on the budget for quite since the beginning of the year. And tell me some of the things that are going to be happening with that budget.
Well, first of all, you know, we had it on the agenda to have the first reading of it. And late Monday afternoon, I had a meeting with the Extension Service. And the County Extension Service, of course, is partnered with the University of Kentucky. And we've had an open 4-H agent position here for some time just based on the funding. So they are partnering with Kentucky University. And Kentucky University has offered a 4-H agent for our office, and they'll pay all of the salary benefits, all of those things. We just have to come up with the money to be able to do the office supplies, the travel, the phones, and all those kind of things. So it actually would, it changed, the request was for an additional $10,000. Of course, the county funds the Extension Service anyway, and the budget was currently set at $135,846. They asked for another $10,000. So, you know, you just can't pick that out of the air. So when they made that request, I did not present the budget yesterday. I needed to get enough time with myself and the treasurer to go back in and see where we could find that $10,000. So as probably everyone knows, the budget, I work the budget. So it's essentially, as people think, the budget belongs to me until I present it to fiscal court. Then when I present it to fiscal court, then it belongs to fiscal court. So I wanted to get it as close as I can. It's a little over $15.3 million budget. So, you know, you wanted to get it as good as you can and then present it to the court and make it as smooth as possible. So I just wanted to find that money, get it all done. And then I will present it at a special call meeting here in a few days, along with a group of development block grant resolutions that I have to pass in order to take advantage of a block grant from the it's a $1 million grant, and there's a lot of resolutions. So we're just going to clean all that up at one time, and we'll announce when that meeting will be, and it will be very soon in the future.
Well, not getting too deep into the weeds about the budget that you're preparing, are there any big changes that are going to be presented, or is it sort of business as usual?
It's pretty much business as usual. Now, we did, and you've heard me talk about broadband. We did put some money into the budget to be able to allow us to match some grant funding that we're anticipating receiving here in the future for broadband. And we put $100,000 in there, which will allow us to match money for broadband. Now, as everybody knows, we have to wait till those funds come into it. You don't wake up with $15.3 million in the budget. So anyway, it's in the budget. Everything else is pretty close. We did some cuts on some nonprofits last year just because of COVID. We reinstated the full amount that we had been giving them prior. We didn't get any, they didn't get any more, but they were reinstated back from pre-COVID budget. But it's pretty much straightforward. Like I said, it's a $15.3 million budget. Without a doubt, I think it's worthy to say that the jail budget is, it's $15.2 million of our tax revenue. So it takes a big chunk of our funds. And it's the general fund is at 5.3. So we operate this county with just a teeny bit less than what the jail fund operates on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is something that most communities have to deal with. I saw recently that they're actually going to be closing the Lewis County facility. And I was like, how can you close? I mean, they need it. It's a needed thing within a community. But really, they're in close proximity to Rowan County. So I didn't know if the county had been approached about handling those inmates or not yet, if that was something that may or may not. I mean, I'm sure it's kind of up in the air where Lewis County is going to send their inmates. But it costs money no matter where your inmates go, and they have to go somewhere.
They did some analysis of their jail, and they needed some repairs, and it was a fairly small jail to begin with. And the judge executive over there reached out to me and reached out to our jailer. We had a long conversation about this. You know, we can house about 340 inmates. We're currently at about 274. So we've got plenty of room for them. And I would anticipate some of the Lewis County inmates and some of the state inmates that are currently in the Lewis County jail to be transitioned over to Round County. And those details have been worked out some time ago before they ever agreed to close it. It will make a difference. The jails are very expensive to maintain, they're very expensive to man. So I think they probably made the right decision, being a small jail to begin with, and with the amount of repairs they had to do. I don't know that. I'm just guessing, but it would probably have been a good call, and probably something around county would have done the same if we'd had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I want to back up just a little bit. You mentioned briefly money for broadband going into talking about the budget. And that's something that's really important for people to pay attention to right now. You and I have talked about, how important it is, especially that's been highlighted, for it to be available to all members of the community. And there's something that the residents in the community can do right now in order to help get more broadband accessibility.
Absolutely, Leanne. I'm glad you brought this up. Broadband is very important, and anyone that doesn't realize that, I didn't realize that a year ago, and I think some people didn't really realize the effect it had. But after COVID, everybody can see, from the school kids to telehealth, is affected by our inability to be able to have high-speed internet available to us. So I've been working on that really for the last 2 years, not a secret, but we've finally got some traction, and we've also, I think there's some grant money coming to us. So we put some matching money in the budget. It's not enough, but it'll get us started. I've got an RFP, which is a request for a proposal, to go out. In fact, it'll probably go out this week We're going to request some proposals of what it would cost us to put fiber to the home and or wireless high-speed internet to the homes. And it's but in order to do that and for us to get our portion of the grant funding, it is very, very important that all of the citizens in Round County go online and do the speed test. And that speed test needs to be done from your home. And it's you can go online to speedtest.ky.gov. And you can do the speed test, and that automatically records that test at the transportation cabinet. I believe that's the ones that are doing this. And it also will, we need a percentage, and the percentage we would love to have is something greater than 10% participation, because the greater the need you can show, the more eligible you are for the grant funding. And we really need that. And I think everybody knows we've got some spots in these hills and hollers and out on the main road. Flat does not have high speed internet. So it is important. Again, that's speedtest.ky.gov. If you don't have any service, you don't have any internet service, you can go to anybody else's house or the library. You can go into that same place and it'll take you a couple steps and you can say, give your actual address and say you have no internet service. And if you really get confused on all this, you can call my office at 784-5151 and we'll help you input that you don't have any internet capability.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so important, because I don't think that anybody realized how much it was needed. I mean, everybody was like, yeah, everybody should have broadband access. But then, you know, when COVID hit and we all had to work from home and we all had to do school from home, and, you know, there are so many parents out there who were trying to work from home and facilitate online schooling for their students, and you couldn't do both at the same time. And I know it's been a struggle. A lot of people are excited to have restrictions lifted, but this is a really important thing that we pay attention to as a community, I think.
Yes, very, very important that we do this. And I tease people, or I laugh at people, and I say, you know, when I live stream my news at home, I'm actually watching yesterday or day before yesterday's news. That's how slow my internet is. So.
And I think some of us have that same exact problem. Really quickly, I wanted to touch on, go back to restrictions, since I brought that up again. The governor has put in a kind of a challenge to Kentuckians to reach a certain number of vaccinations in order to do to lift a lot of the restrictions that are out there that have been in place because of COVID. What are you encouraging our community to do in order to help meet those goals?
You know, I want to make sure first that we have the vaccines available, and I'm just going to initially hope that that our citizens will step up and get the vaccine. And I know there's always some apprehension in doing anything like that. But I want to put everybody to rest that the two vaccines that we're currently taking, and even the Johnson & Johnson was, I think, 6 out of 6 million. They're very safe. And it's really the key to get our kids back into the full swing of school this fall. Our ability to be able to go to the football games this fall and sit next to each other and talk to each other without mumbling through a mask. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. We just need to step up, get it done, and get it behind us. And I just encourage everybody to do it. And I know the citizens around county is just as interested and excited about getting back to normal as I am. And I'm sure they're going to take time out of their day in order to get that vaccine. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage our folks to do, to just go get the vaccine. And we will be creative. We're going to move some things around to, you know, some vaccine clinics where they're at, maybe some sporting events and some of those kind of things to make it more accessible to them so that it doesn't interrupt their daily lives.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have left here on Open Mic. Judge Executive Harry Clark, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Leanne. And everyone do the speed test at speedtest.ky.gov. Wear your mask until we get through this. Get your vaccines. We appreciate each and every one of you. You know, you have given us, the citizens gave us tremendous support during this ice storm that we've had. We seem like we've had one pandemic, an emergency after the other. And I can't thank the citizens enough. And I can't thank the first responders and the staff in Round County that always steps forward and does everything that's above and beyond what's asked of them.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.